Churches sometimes step in to help immigrants who are threatened with deportation. We've seen that happen here in the U.S., but also in other countries. Last month, we told you here on The World about a church in the Netherlands, the Bethel Church in The Hague. It's been holding a round-the-clock prayer service for the past 3 months, literally 24/7, to protect a family from getting deported. Here's a moment from my conversation with Theo Hetema, a Protestant church leader in The Hague.
We have an actual article in our law that says that police may not enter a church building during a church service. And we have had more than 1,200 hours of church service just going on and on and on.
Well, it turns out someone in Columbus, Ohio, heard our story, and he immediately emailed his pastor at the Columbus Mennonite Church, Joel Miller.
He commented that he had heard this story while driving and that it was a remarkable story. And he sent a link to listen to it, which I did. His email ended with a generous offer of his frequent flyer miles to go and participate in this event here in The Hague.
Wow. What did you think about that idea of going to the Netherlands?
My reply back was, you know, are you serious? Is this a serious offer? And he was definitely serious. So it worked out.
It sure did. We reached Miller today in The Hague, where he was about to help lead the service. Joel, you listened to the story. What did you think? Did you think your congregant had a point?
Well, there was an instant connection with it because of we have been a sanctuary congregation for the last 15 months for Edith Espinal, who's a woman who was born in Mexico, but had been in the U.S. for 20 years, raised a family, but recently had her asylum claim denied by a federal judge. So she had a deportation order, and our church has been hosting her in our building for over a year to keep her from being deported. So there were some very obvious connections between what's happening here and what we've been doing.
So I'm just curious, how do you understand sanctuary, like what you're doing in Columbus at the Columbus Mennonite Church, and how does it differ from what the church, the Bethel Church in The Hague, is doing?
Well, some of the differences have to do with the legal differences. What opens up this possibility right now in the U.S. is a 2011 memo issued by the director of ICE, so Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which instructs ICE officers not to enter sensitive locations, is the language that's used. So among sensitive locations are hospitals, schools, and houses of worship. So according to this policy, which is just a policy, not a law, ICE officers will not enter houses of worship to arrest or detain anyone who is inside. So that has opened up a creative interpretation of that for churches that want to protect people from being deported. And so there's a movement in the U.S. now, over 50 sanctuary cases publicly, and many, many more that aren't as public, but churches, synagogues, temples, mosques who are keeping people in sanctuary. Mm. So that's something we've been a part of, but now with this story here in The Hague, the feeling of this being something going on an international level, it feels like a unique opportunity to make that connection here.
All right. Well, they are looking for people to fill 24 hours a day, right? So you've been given 3 hours. How are you going to fill that time?
We plan this around being Martin Luther King Jr. Day and an appropriate, powerful document of his that applies in this situation is his letter from Birmingham jail. So we're going to read the whole letter and include music throughout. We have some commentary, and we'll also open up the floor for comments and thoughts from people.
And Joel Miller, as pastor, you mentioned some commentary. What do you want to say? Maybe you could try a few lines out on us.
Well, I want to name that the letter is addressed to white clergy, and it will be obvious to those there that I'm white and I'm a pastor. So rather than us representing the voice of King, it's powerful to me to think about King's voice speaking to us as people of relative privilege and opportunity to have a place to host and asking questions of what we do with that power.
Remind us what King was saying to white clergy in the letter and how you want that to kind of get telegraphed today.
Sure. It was 1963. It was before the I Have a Dream speech, and there had been an injunction in Birmingham not to march. And so they basically decided that they were going to march despite that injunction, and King got arrested. And so there was a letter from white clergy who were urging King not to do this. He got accused of being an outside agitator and basically of pushing too hard.
My dear fellow clergymen, While confined here in the Birmingham City Jail, I came across your recent statement calling my present activities unwise and untimely.
So King is writing to them directly. He was in solitary confinement when he wrote it, and he was, first of all, questioning this outsider-insider mentality that they were bringing, and he was claiming that he very much had a stake in what was going on. He uses, at times, eloquent language that can be completely pulled out of context and that you can put up on a wall, and it's powerful in and of itself.
I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny.
How do you think you're going to be affected by what happens today at this church, and how are you going to take that back to Columbus?
It means a lot for this to not just be a local or even national struggle or act, but to have a sense that there are people of goodwill around the world who are responding to asylum and refugee crisis in this way.
That's Pastor Joel Miller from Columbus, Ohio, speaking to us today from The Hague, where he's helping to lead a round-the-clock prayer service at the Bethel Church there to prevent a family from getting deported.